Welcome again to Understanding Your Bible. These broadcasts and programs are presented with the hope that we will give you information that will help you better understand the Word of God. We've been talking about what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 for several weeks, and that is, he said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." While some people may believe that the Bible is hard to be understood and there's just no way to really understand the Bible, the key to understanding the Bible is to understand that we are to distinguish between the books of the Bible that are written to the church, the body of Christ, and to those books that were associated with the doctrine for the nation Israel. I have a chart here that we've been using, and on the chart, it's outlined here, first of all, the Old Testament, and then the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then, of course, the book of Acts, Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon, and then the Hebrew epistles, Hebrews through Revelation. Now, you know, everybody divides the Bible somewhere. Very few people still hold to Old Testament doctrine. Most people believe that the church today is a New Testament church. And so they do not believe that the doctrine in the Old Testament is for them today. Now, there are some religious sects that go back to the Old Testament, and they go back there, and they place themselves under the law, and they practice Old Testament doctrine. But by and large, people today realize that we are in the New Testament era, or what is called the New Testament, rather, and those are the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the way through Revelation. Well, when Paul said to rightly divide the word of truth, that tells us that it must be possible to wrongly divide the word of truth. And so what we're doing in these studies is to help you to see that the doctrine for the church is in Romans through Philemon. And by understanding that and seeing that, you'll see that many of the what seem to be contradictions of the Bible are not really contradictions at all. They are simply truth that was associated with two groups of people. We've talked about the gospel of the kingdom. We've talked about how that the gospel of the kingdom is different from the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel of the kingdom was preached by Jesus Christ, by John the Baptist, by the 12. It was preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It was preached in Acts 1 through 8. And when Paul was saved in Acts 9, he was given, according to Ephesians chapter 3, the gospel or the dispensation of the grace of God. And according to Acts 20, verse 24, he was given the gospel of the grace of God. So that's the basis for our study, and that is the basis for understanding your Bible. That is to distinguish between what was written for you and what is written directly to you. All the Bible is equally inspired, but not all the Bible is written directly to you. It is all written for you, but there are certain instructions and admonitions that you need to take heed to, and we find those in Romans through Philemon, Paul's epistles. And the Bible is laid out, as I showed there on the chart a moment ago, exactly how God intended for us to distinguish between the doctrine. You have the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all as one group. They're called the Gospels. They record the life of Christ, the ministry of Christ, and the teachings of Christ to the 12. Then you have the book of Acts. The book of Acts transitions us from law to grace. And then you have the doctrine of the dispensation of the grace of God in Romans through Philemon. And then Hebrews through Revelation deals again with the nation Israel, primarily during the tribulation and the millennial reign of Christ. Now today, I want to talk to you about something in relation to rightly dividing the word of truth, and that is forgiveness of sins. How is it today that a person can be forgiven of their sins? There are certain people that they go to 1 John 1:9 and they claim if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Well, I don't believe that there's anything wrong with confessing your sins, but I certainly know, according to the Scriptures, that you don't have to confess sins in order to get forgiveness for them. And so I want us to compare some Scriptures today and see how forgiveness differs in Paul's epistles from those writings outside of Paul's epistles. Now, Paul said in Romans chapter 11 and Romans chapter 15 that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. He said that Jesus Christ was the minister of the circumcision. And yet he said concerning himself that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. So let's look and see what Paul said about forgiveness. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul said there in verse 32, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." God has forgiven you all trespasses. I want you to understand today, if you don't understand anything else, that sin today is not the issue as to whether or not you're saved or lost. The sin issue was settled at the cross. When Christ died for your sins and became your sacrifice, sins were no longer the issue. The issue today is, are you willing to accept that which Christ did? Now, I want you to notice some passages with me. Back in Matthew chapter 6, in Matthew chapter 6, we have what is called today the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. Jesus Christ was teaching the disciples to pray, and he tells them in Matthew chapter 6, verse 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask them. After this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Now I want you to notice in verse 14, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I heard a very prominent preacher on TV not long ago preaching this passage of Scripture. And he was saying very emphatically that if you do not forgive people their trespasses, Christ won't forgive you. Well, folks, that's doctrine that is associated with the gospel of the kingdom. That is doctrine that is associated with the nation Israel. As we looked at the gospel of the kingdom, we saw that it's the gospel that Christ preached, and he preached it to Israel. The 12 were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and on that goes. And yet, Paul said that the salvation that was given unto him, the message of salvation given to him, was for all men without distinction. And he said all men could be forgiven of all sins from which they could not be forgiven by the law of Moses. So I want you to understand that this forgiveness here is associated with the doctrine of the kingdom message given by Christ to the 12 and preached to the nation Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But what I want you to understand is this, that forgiveness was conditional. There was repentance. There was water baptism. And right here, forgiveness is based upon, he said, "If ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Well, I want you to notice what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2. I mentioned to you before how that if you do not rightly divide the word of truth, there seems to be contradictions in the Scriptures. And yet there are not contradictions. There is simply a distinguishing between the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, and that of the nation Israel. He said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, "And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." In Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, in relation to the law, he said, "We've been made free from the law. We're not under that law." Why is that? Because of what he said in Colossians chapter 2. He nailed it to the cross. He took it out of the way. He said, "We are delivered from the law." Romans 7, 6. "But now we're delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter." He said in Romans chapter 10, "Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth." So how is it today that we have forgiveness of sins? Well, under the kingdom program, there was forgiveness based upon repentance, water baptism for the remission of sins. There was forgiveness based on whether or not you forgave others their trespasses towards you. But not so in this dispensation. Today, forgiveness is based upon what Jesus Christ did at the cross for you and I. And we should praise God for that. Now, over in 1 John chapter 1, I made a reference to that a moment ago. 1 John chapter 1 says, and this is a favorite verse of many people, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to declare and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I want you to think about something. You know, people today, most preachers preach that as doctrine for us today. And I realize people many times get upset when you begin to talk about some of their favorite passages of Scripture. But I want you to think about how that verse coincides, or how it does not coincide, with what Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 when he said, He hath forgiven you all trespasses. Now, I thank God that the word all means exactly that. All trespasses. That means that there's not one single sin that God hasn't forgiven us of. Why, under the kingdom program, Jesus Christ said that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven you, except for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, and it shall not be forgiven you in this world, or neither in the world to come. And yet we read in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16, that Paul was a blasphemer. Paul said he was injurious, but he obtained mercy. And he said that in me first he might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them who should hereafter believe. And so I want you to understand that forgiveness of sins today is not based upon whether or not you have a grudge against somebody else or whether or not you've forgiven somebody else. Neither is forgiveness today based upon whether you confess your sins or not. Again, doctrine for the nation Israel. Doctrine in 1 John that is associated with Israel, primarily in the tribulation and the millennial reign. The doctrine for the church, the body of Christ, Romans through Philemon. We've been forgiven all trespasses. And so, your confessing of sins is not going to get you forgiveness of them today. And you see, there's so many ways today that people are going about trying to get forgiveness of sins. We all know that we're sinners. We know that we do bad things. We know that we do things that are against the laws of God and against the Word of God. And so men, they seek out ways for forgiveness. There are those that go to other men and they make confessions and they try to get forgiveness that way. There are those that go before the church and they admit their sins and they confess them to the church hoping to get forgiveness that way. There are those that get down at an altar somewhere and they pray and they beg to God to forgive them of their sins. There are those who agonize and writhe over their sin and so forth. And folks, we should be sorry for our sin. We should turn away from our sin. And there's nothing wrong with confessing before God that we sin. But what I want you to see and understand, that the forgiveness of your sin is not based upon how much you confess it or how earnestly you agonize over it. The forgiveness of your sin was settled 2,000 years ago when Christ died for you on Calvary. I believe one of the greatest blessings of being saved is absolutely to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that all of my sins are forgiven. Why? Because the Bible says that all have sinned. The Bible said there's not a just man. There's none good, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, then I know that as a sinner, that even though I commit sin in this flesh, that Christ has already forgiven all of my sin. How do I know that? Well, I want you to notice several passages. First of all, in 1 Corinthians 15, we're told that He died for our sins. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, He said, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. Now I want you to think about something. How foolish would it be for God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, to send His Son to this earth to die for our sins, pay for every one of them by His blood, and then require you to do something in order to receive that forgiveness? How ridiculous would it be for God to give His Son for all of your sin, spill His blood there, turn His back on Him, forsake Him, and then require you to walk down in the church aisle or to get down on your knees and pray and beg God to forgive you? Well, God already forgave you. The Bible says Christ died for our sins. Not only did he die for our sins, but I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that he became our sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, "For he," that is God, "hath made him," Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin." That is, Christ knew no sin. He was the sinless, perfect, undefiled Son of God. He knew no sin. And yet God hath made him, he says, "to be sin for us." Why? "That we might be made the righteousness of God in him." In other words, when Jesus Christ hung on that cross and he bled and he died and he suffered for our sin, the Bible says that God Almighty, as it were, turned his back on his Son. Jesus Christ on that cross cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Well, I'll tell you why he had forsaken him, because God Almighty cannot look upon sin. And Jesus Christ became sin on that cross. And the Bible said that he went to hell for us, and he was buried, and he was raised again the third day. And the Bible says right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that God, based on what Christ did on that cross, reconciled us to himself. You see, we were enemies of God. We were apart from God. We were strangers from the covenant's promise. We were without hope and without God in this world, according to Ephesians chapter 2. But notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18. "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ." Now think about that. If you've been reconciled to God by Jesus Christ, why would you need to get down and pray and beg God to forgive you of your sins? You're already reconciled to him. Your salvation is based upon what he did. You've been reconciled to God. It may be somebody out there, you're already saved. You know that you trust Jesus Christ, but you never realized that you were reconciled to God and that all your sins are under his blood and they're all taken care of. Does that mean that you want to just go out and sin and live any way you want to? Paul said to that question in Romans chapter 6, God forbid. God forbid that we should ever use grace as a license to go about doing that which we want to do in our flesh. We are to be motivated and to serve God based on the basis of the salvation we have. But the works have nothing to do with our salvation. He says, "All things are of God," verse 18, "who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation." Notice verse 19, "to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." I want you to notice what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 about people like you and I. He said in verse 1, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God." Now folks, I want to tell you something. Verse 7 could never be true if works are involved in our salvation. If you've got to be baptized, join the church, walk the aisle, or confess your sins in order to be saved, then you could boast throughout eternity of what you did in order to help God save you. But the fact is that you and I that are saved in the dispensation of the grace of God in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now notice down in verse 11, he says, "Wherefore remember, that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision of the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus. You who sometimes were far off are made nigh, how? By the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who had made both one, and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments containing ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. In other words, God Almighty has reconciled us to himself. As members of the body of Christ, we're to be reconciled one to another, but we've been reconciled to God by the death of Jesus Christ, and our sins have been paid for based upon the fact that he shed his blood for us. Now, we have forgiveness of sins. Why? Because Christ died for our sins. Christ was made sin for us. And God gave his son a ransom for our sin. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says there to Timothy, who will have all men. The reference is to God our Savior there in verse 3. The last part of verse 3, God our Savior. Verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Jesus Christ proved his love for us by dying there on that cross. He died for our sins. He was made sin for us. God gave him a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, the only issue today is whether or not you have accepted him as your Savior, trusting in him alone. It's not whether or not you've quit sinning. You know, the religious system today, by and large, has convinced people that salvation is available to those who are willing to turn over a new leaf, those who are willing to forsake their sin. I hear preachers all the time talking about how that you got to turn from your sin or how you need to forsake your sin and come to Christ. Well, it'd be wonderful to forsake your sin. But I want you to understand, forsaking your sin will not bring you to Christ. Turning over a new leaf will not bring you to Christ. Joining the church will not bring you to Christ. Being baptized in water will not bring you to Christ. The only thing that will establish salvation for you is for you to believe the gospel that Christ died for you, he was buried, he was raised again the third day, and for you to trust in him. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, the forgiveness of our sins is not only available to, in other words, today, it's not available to a certain group of people. It's not just available to the elect. It's not just available to those God has chosen. It's available to all men. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 26, it's interesting. You know, we started out the study here today, and each day we started out talking about rightly dividing the word of truth. And we talked about that in light of the fact that there are differences in the doctrine that you find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the doctrine that you find in Paul's epistles. One of those differences is right here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6, he gave himself a ransom for all. But you know, in Matthew chapter 26, verse 28, as Christ observes the Last Supper with his disciples, he said, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." Did you notice the difference there? Many versus all. Well, you know, I thank God that today we're included in the all. Because if it were just many, I might not make that. But the Bible says, Paul said, he gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Also, over in Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 28, the Bible says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. You see, under the kingdom program, as we've mentioned on several occasions, salvation was extended to those Jews and to those that blessed Israel, those Gentiles who feared God and worked righteousness. But in the dispensation of the grace of God, which was started with the salvation of the Apostle Paul, salvation today is available to all men without distinction. He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified, the Bible says, in due time. Whereas in Matthew, he gave himself a ransom for many. In Hebrews, he gave himself a ransom for many. Paul said he gave himself a ransom for all. Therefore, all men are forgiven from all things from which they could not be forgiven by the law of Moses. Now, back in Colossians chapter 2, where we started out, he said in Colossians 2:13, "And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him." In other words, he died for your sins. Paul said, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." We were quickened together with him. We were raised with him to walk in newness of life. And he says, having forgiven you all trespasses. Again, that word all is not hard to understand. It means every one of them. If you have trusted him as your Savior, all of your sins are forgiven. Don't let some preacher or anybody else convince you that there's something you've got to do either before you're saved or after you're saved to get forgiveness. All of your sins are forgiven in Christ. Trust him and be saved.
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.